message today, the Easter message for this year, and I've entitled it Graves into Gardens, and that came from the song that our praise team shared this morning with us, that new song. It's a song from Elevation Worship, powerful song, and Patricia, our church secretary, was the one that first introduced me to the song. And the first time I heard it, the first scripture that came to my mind was out of John chapter 20, when Mary Magdalene had her encounter with Jesus at the tomb. And we're going to get to that here in just a little bit, so that's why I asked you to turn to John chapter 20 and also to Daniel chapter 7. So if you're there with your families, that's the two main passages. But if you know me, we've got a PowerPoint, and I'm going to share some other scriptures up here because I'm going to try to tie everything in, for the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and show you the whole gospel, what all happened during the time of Easter, those 3 days from Friday to today, the first day of the week, the Sunday of the resurrection. And to start off this morning, kind of my introduction is this. God called me to be a pastor and to be a teacher. This is not a career to me. There are some people, I'll be honest with you, that are in the ministry for a career. They go from church to church to church to whoever can pay the biggest salary. I know that may be shocking to some people that are watching online, but that's the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. And I love what Pastor Robert Moore says. He says, for the love of God, if you're not called, get out of ministry. And you have to have that call, that call. It can't be a career. It's a calling. And God called me back in 1993, to be a pastor and a teacher. I didn't know that at that time. I've grown into that calling. But there was something that was going on in my heart at that time, and I can still remember. It happened to me again this morning, and I just broke down just thinking about God's goodness, just like what happened with Miss Carrie this morning. Just was thinking about the gospel, thinking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, thinking about what all God has done for me, and I just broke down and began to weep. And I was just crying, and I was like, God, why do I do that all the time? I mean, you know, why don't we, you know, there's joy. I don't know. It's a good cry. It's a happy cry. I was like, what am I feeling when that happens, God? And he said, Mark, I'm just giving you a little bit of dose of my love for you, and you, because you can't handle all of it at once. If I was to give you all my love at one time, you would explode. And he said, I can just give you a little drop at a time. And I was like, well, keep dropping it. You know, keep dropping it on me, Lord. And because I, you know, as a pastor and a teacher. And you don't have to be a pastor and teacher, just a Christian, just to love the Lord, is I want to be a good representation of God the Father. Amen? I want to be a good representation of Him. And I'll be honest with you, there has been times in my ministry, and this is my introduction, this is all going somewhere, I promise you. There's been times in my ministry where I've got over into the religious mindset and started acting like a Pharisee. And I'll never forget, I'm going to share a story. I've shared it here before. Some of these here probably remember sharing this story. But it was when we was at church on Main Street, and I was reminded of it the other day because that is now the Shaw Funeral Home. And I was meeting with the Boggs family down there yesterday. And at that church, I was ministering a message one morning. And I'm going to be honest with you, I had the Pharisee on me. I had the religious spirit on me. I was mad. I was upset. I preached mean. I preached hateful. I gave everybody a spanking with the Word of God and did it in the name of Jesus and walked out, let everybody know how big of sinners they were and was doing the greeting at the end back there where Dusty's at when we was down on the Main Street building, and there was a little old lady, an elderly lady that was coming to our church at that time. She didn't live here in Leedy. She lived in another community. And she came through the line, and she has since passed away and went home to be with Jesus. But she came through the line, and I shook her hand, and she never really said a whole lot, but this morning she looked at me, and she shook my hand, and she said, Pastor Mark, that was really heavy. That's all she said. But it was the way she said it, the way she looked at me, and it really wasn't, I knew then there was a prick in my heart. It really wasn't her, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through her to me. I went home later that day, and that bothered me all day. I went home, and I was just sitting there thinking about the message that day, and the Lord, the Bible talks about this in James, that, you know, teachers and people that minister the Word of God, You know, the Lord, he wants us to be good representations of him. And so he did a little deal on me called discipline. And he disciplined me. And God disciplines those that he loves. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews. And he spoke to my heart, and this is what he said. And he did it very lovingly and very graciously, but also very firm. And he said, Mark, I called you to be a pastor and a teacher. And don't you ever talk to my children like that again, because that's not who I am. And I was like, oh, gosh. And so I was like, Lord, I will never do that again. I want to represent you well. And we can all make mistakes, okay? We all do. I do. I'm going to continue to make mistakes. But I was like, Lord, help me help myself. You know, help me help myself, and help me to be a good representation of you, and help me to represent the Father God, who you are to people. And that's why I get up here all the time and say God is good, and God is good all the time. And then I asked him, I said, Lord, what, as a pastor and a teacher, what am I called to do? And he said, Mark, what you're called to do, because a lot of people say it's take care of the flock, and that's part of it, and all those kind of things, you know, take care of your church family, all that, to minister, to preach the word, teach the word. But he said, what I've called you to do is to guard the minds of who I send to you, to guard their minds from the enemy lying to them that I'm not a good father. And so that's what you're called to do, because that's what he is constantly doing to people, is bombarding them with thoughts that God's not good. And so, you know, and I was thinking about this, there's a lot of us, and I have dealt with it in my own life, and just a wrong Father God concept. We have a wrong Father God concept. And the reason why we have that is because that is Satan's strategy against mankind. You know, I've heard all this stuff, you know, on social media now, and about the coronavirus, that the coronavirus is from God, it's the 11th plague, God is destroying our false idols, you know, and all of a sudden something rises up in me where the Holy Spirit's shaking his head like this, and just this righteous indignation, because that's not who Father God is. That's not who he is. And some Christians, and I'm going to say this, and I hope, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there listening, but some Christians' concept of God is like that of an abusive daddy, and he is not an abusive father. God is, you know, you hear all the things, God is judging America, God is judging sports, God is, and so I had to stop and say, what about Satan is? It's him. It's him. And so, but he's deceiving mankind that God's not good in all of this. And someone just this, over the last few weeks, texted me, and there's nobody from around here, because I know everybody starts thinking, I wonder who it was. Someone texted me, asked me where they needed to read in the book of Revelation. You know, right now, everybody's reading the book of Revelation. You know, get out of the book of Revelation. We're not in the book of Revelation. And I told them to go, I said, this is after my message that I did here a few weeks ago, and I said, I told them to go back and read Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, what Jesus said, and he said, do not worry. And don't, you know, and I mean, I've been around the community here and had different people come up to me, and they're sharing their Father God concept and about the coronavirus and all this. And it's just, that's not the Father God. Amen. And so my burden for this message today is that you and I would see the Father and know him, his character, his nature, and his ways. And Mary Magdalene, who we're going to look at this morning, was the first one to see Jesus after the resurrection. And she was, now listen to this, ladies, she was the apostle to the apostles. She was the first one to see Jesus after the resurrection. So we're going to get to John chapter 20 and Daniel chapter 7 here in just a second. But in Scripture, I wanted to start off kind of with a little history on Mary Magdalene, what we know about Mary Magdalene. And there's a kind of a false, it's not true, but it's kind of been through the church ages passed down, that people think that she was the unknown woman, the prostitute that washed Jesus' feet and all that. That's not Mary Magdalene, okay? That's not her. That's not right. There's only two things in Scripture that talk about her and tell us a little bit about her. And here's the first one. Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, that's on Sunday today, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. All right? So all we know is that here's that. He had turned her graves into gardens. Amen? Well, that song we just sang, that's something that we know about Mary Magdalene. And Magdalene, by the way, is not her last name. Just like there's a lot of Marks in our church. So there was a lot of Marys at that time. And so Mary, she had the name Magdalene. Magdalene was actually where she was from, a little community called Magdala, and it was by the Sea of Galilee. So they called her, that was kind of like her nickname, Mary Magdalene, all right, because it just showed where she was from. So that was not her last name. And now, this is the other thing that we see in Scripture about Mary Magdalene, something else about her. And this is Luke 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. By the way, Mary Magdalene joined Jesus in his ministry probably in the first year of his ministry. So she traveled with him for 2.5 years. The 12 were with him. And also, listen to this, some women. A lot of people think that it was just Jesus and the 12 traveling around. Common sense would tell you that there had to be women there to take care of them. Guys can't take care of themselves, all right? They can't feed themselves. They can't take care of themselves. They don't know where they're going. We have to have some help. So there were women that traveled with these guys, all right? Yeah, the old ladies in here, Carrie and Patricia and Brooke, are looking at each other going, yeah, uh-huh, amen. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured, look at this, from Jesus' ministry, of evil spirits and diseases. Here she's mentioned again, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, I think that's his name, hard word, Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, I want you to tell you something about these ladies had businesses, and they had things that they did for a living, and they were supporting the ministry of Jesus, also helping and taking care of these guys. So that kind of gives you a little background about Mary Magdalene. Now we're going to jump forward. I wanted to share that with you. We're going to jump forward. We're going to go into John chapter 14 through 16, and we're going to kind of go through this story of the story of Easter. And John 14 through 16 is where Jesus, he is actually what I read out of Luke chapter 22 when we had communion. This is told in the other gospel, but it goes more in depth about what all he was teaching them and sharing with them in John 14 through 16 during this Passover meal, okay? And so in John 14, verses 1 through 2, this is what Jesus is talking about. Now, I want you to realize, when I'm reading this, you've got to get to where the disciples are at and what's going on at this point. A lot of times when we read this as Christians, we put this off, you know, when Jesus is coming back on the second coming. What he is teaching them right now is what's fixing to happen at the cross, okay? So this is what he says in verse 1. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Okay, let me back up. Verse 2 says, he's telling them, guys, something's about to happen. Talking about the crucifixion. He's going to suffer. He goes, I don't want your hearts to be troubled about it. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2 is very key, guys. My Father's house has many rooms. The old King James says, you know, the mansion. I got a mansion. You know, that old hymn. If you want a big house in heaven, that's okay. All right? But that's not what this is talking about. In verse 2, what Jesus is saying is, I have a relationship with the Father, is what Jesus is saying. But I'm going to prepare a place for you so you can have a relationship with him also. Because in my Father's house are many rooms, and you can have a relationship with him too. So that's what he's telling them. I'm about to go and prepare a place for you. All right. So this is all happening at the Passover meal. We're going to kind of jump around in John chapter 14, and we'll go to John 16 here in just a second. But in John chapter 14, verse 25, this is what Jesus says. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The part of the Godhead that's here with us today is the Holy Spirit. Verse 27 tells you the Holy Spirit's ministry. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There he's telling them again. Don't want you to be troubled. Don't want you to be afraid. Right, verse 28, he said, you heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. So that's the peace. He says, I'm going to give you peace and the Holy Spirit. The peace and the Holy Spirit. All right, now we're going to jump over to John chapter 16. Like I said, this is all happening during the Passover. Jesus went on to say, I'm just trying to show you what he's trying to get through to the disciples. He says, in a little while you see me no more, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And because I am going to the Father. And they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying, okay? And Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant, what I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And he says, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. And this is talking about the crucifixion. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy, and that's the resurrection. All right, he's telling them everything that's about to happen. They're just not getting it, okay? And then he goes on a little bit further, and he gives this analogy, and he says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, now, okay? It's not saying 2,000 years. This is not talking about the second coming. This is talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again 3 days, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy after you see me again. So this is all going on, okay, guys? This leads us up to John chapter 20, and I didn't put John chapter 20 up on the big screen, so I hope you have your Bibles with you, because I'm reading a lot of scripture, and because I want to paint this picture for you and tie all these scriptures together so you can see what's going on. But in John chapter 20, this is where, and we're going to read down through verse 22, but this is, and we're going to start in verse 1, but this is where Mary Magdalene has her divine encounter with Jesus. So we'll start in verse 1, and I'm going to make some side notes as I'm reading this. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Notice Mary was there. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, okay? The other disciple's not named here, but as we keep looking here, this is John writing this story, right? We're in the Gospel of John. So this is John talking about the other disciple, because then he says, whom Jesus loved. John had some issues, I'm sorry. John's just letting everybody know that I was loved by Jesus more than anybody. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now, okay, and then it says, Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, John, and were going to the tomb. Verse 4, this is comical, okay, guys? So they both ran together, and the other disciple, John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Why does he have to throw that in there? Not only am I the one that's loved, but I can also outrun Peter. So now you know why Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene first. All right, these guys aren't getting it. Verse 5 says, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, and yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Verse 8 says, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, there's John again, got to let everybody know I got there first, but he wasn't first, Mary was first, went in also, and he saw and believed. Now, he didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He believed what Mary had said, Mary Magdalene, that somebody had taken his body. All right, that's what he's believed so far. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Even though what I just read to you through John 14 and 16, even though Jesus had been trying to get it through their thick skulls, what was about to happen. Verse 10, then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Okay, because they're grieving, they're troubled, they're afraid, they don't know what's going on. Their leader, Jesus, their Lord, their Savior, he's gone. They don't know where he's at. Verse 11 says, and this is what I love about Mary, this is very key, but Mary, she stayed there, and she stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Verse 12 is powerful. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. This is a spiritual analogy of the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? There was two angels at the foot and at the head of the Ark of the Covenant. There it is. Jesus is our Ark of the Covenant, right there in verse 12. Verse 13, then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. That really bothered me. I was like, how does she not know that that's Jesus? This is what I was thinking. Was the sun coming through the front of the tomb and it was in her eyes and she just saw a figure and couldn't tell that it was him? What was going on? The scripture doesn't really tell us. I read one commentary where it says, Jesus had been beaten so bad at the cross, at the crucifixion, that she did not recognize him. And I was like, okay, no, that can't be it, because she was there. She was there for at the cross. She was there for the death. She was there for the burial. She helped prepare his body for burial, and she's also here for the resurrection. So that wasn't it. And here's what I can tell you. She didn't know him because he was in his glorified body. Amen. These glorified bodies are going to be awesome because they don't decay. All right. Verse 15 says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, oh yeah, she's right. He's the gardener. He's the gardener from the Garden of Eden, for sure. He's the great I Am. He's the one that turned her graves into gardens. Said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. That's when she recognized him, when he said her name. And I can tell you, when I was reading that, this is where I got teary-eyed. I can still remember the day, guys. I can still remember when the first time I heard Jesus say, "Mark," and I got saved. And guys, I'm going to tell you what, I started seeing in HD, 3D. It was like my whole spirit came alive. I went outside. The flowers looked pretty. The grass was green. I mean, everything. I could hear the birds. You know, it just like the whole world woke up to me. And that I was had a relationship with my Father God, the Creator. I can still remember that day. And she turned to him and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, he says, "Do not cling to me." Don't touch this. You know, hammer time. Can't touch this. I'm sorry. This is how I read the word. Don't touch this. But it's, the King James Version in verse 7 says, "Do not cling to me." And I don't, that translation should be touch, all right? Everywhere else that's referred to touch. He says, "Do not touch me. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father," okay? He hasn't got to the Father yet. He's just been resurrected. "But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my," this is, oh man. Okay, verse 17 is the whole, this is the scripture of the day. He says, "Go tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father." That's the first time that's ever been said, right there. He said, "I'm fixed to go make this sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She's the apostle to the apostles, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, okay, that same day, that same Sunday, this morning, okay, that morning, she sees Jesus. What does he tell her? "Don't touch me. Can't touch this," okay? Verse 19 says that same day, so that's that same day, Sunday, at evening time, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." There he is telling them peace again from John chapter 14. When he had said this, he showed them, he's saying, "Touch me." He showed them his hands and his feet. Later on, I won't read down there, but where Thomas actually touched Jesus at this time. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So there's the peace in the Holy Spirit again. Powerful. Mary Magdalene. But now I'm going to share the gospel with you. Had to read all that to get to this. What happened those 3 days when Jesus was in the grave? What happened those 3 days? what happened at the resurrection. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to show you two scriptures first, all right? Matthew 27, verses 52 through 53. I'll never forget the first time I read this because I'd never heard anybody preach or teach on this, and I was like, there was people that came out of the tombs the day that Jesus was resurrected? And the Bible tells us that there were. Matthew chapter 27, 52 through 53 says, "And the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs." I'm talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, all those, okay, in the Old Testament. Hannah, all the ladies in the Old Testament, they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Whew. Okay? Some of you, I'm sure there's people watching. I never knew that scripture was there, never heard that preached or taught. And now I'm going to show you what happened those 3 days. Even the Apostle Paul tells us about it in Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 10. He says, "This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives." That's the Old Testament saints, all right? That's, he took many captives with him. "And he gave gifts to his people." That's us that are still here. He's still giving gifts today, every generation. "What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower part, earthly regions?" We were singing about that. He went to the grave. He went to hell. He took back every key that the enemy had. Every key that the enemy had. Verse 10 says, "He who has descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." All right, now, let me just, I'm going to tell you this in redneck language. Can I do that? All right? So that we, to just, because I'm showing you the scriptures, but I want to show you what happened. This is what Jesus did. After those 3 days, after his resurrection, after he's taken all the Old Testament saints captive, he's got them with him. He's taken every key back from the enemy, from Satan, from Lucifer. He's got the key to death, hell, and the grave. He's got it all. He's got all authority, all dominion. He's taken everything back, and he's about to ascend to the Father, and he says, "God," because he was checking on his disciples. He said, "They still don't got it. They're going to their homes. I told them to go to Galilee. They're not doing what I'm telling them to do. I've got to stop back by the earth." This is all redneck, all right? This is the redneck version of Scripture. It's going with Scripture, okay? Everybody tracking with me. Because I have to stop by the earth again, and I'm going to have to find somebody that can tell these guys to get their act together and believe what I told them. And he said, "You know who I'm going to get? I'm going to get Mary Magdalene, because she's there at the tomb right now." And this is why he chose Mary. And this is so powerful. Because I was like, "God, why did you choose Mary? Mary Magdalene. Why didn't you choose your mom? You know, your own mother, Mary. Why was it her?" And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I can back it up with Scripture. He said, "Mark, because she was there for my death. She was there for my burial. And she was there for my resurrection. She saw the whole gospel. She's going to be my apostle to the apostles." The guys didn't get it. Throw a little curveball in here with out of what I just read out of Matthew chapter 27. The saints know that Jesus has got to do this. So the saints say, "Hey, Jesus, can we just walk around the old city for just a little bit and just go tell people, hey, I'm Abraham that you've read about in the Old Testament." And so that's what happened that day. That's what happened those 3 days. That's what happened at the resurrection. All right. Now, hope you went to Daniel chapter 7 if you've got that there. But I want to read this scripture first. So then I got to thinking, okay, got that, God. You came back by the earth after you descended. Before you ascended, you told Mary she couldn't touch you because you hadn't ascended to the Father yet. I understand that. Then all of a sudden, you go to heaven, you go to the Holy of Holies, and then that night you come back and you appear to the disciples. In the Bible, if you'll go on and study Scripture, Jesus appeared many times over the next 40 days to the disciples to get it through to them what was going on, and before he actually really ascended. And he is coming back again. There is going to be a second coming. Amen? All right. But John chapter 12, verse 31, this is where Jesus says, he says, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." All right, that happened. That's not going to ever. What the enemy is lying to us as the body of Christ, we are putting off victory until Jesus comes back at the second coming. Victory is already ours in the name of Jesus, okay? yeah, we're going to have tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. This happened, this judgment, in driving out the prince of this world, that happened over 2,000 years ago at the cross. And I was like, okay, we're going to see this in Scripture. This is what happened in the Holy of Holies. This is what happened on Sunday when Jesus went into heaven, to the end of the Holy of Holies, and presented himself as our sacrifice. Daniel had this prophecy, saw this back in the book of Daniel, saw this unfolding, and was written in the book of Daniel for us today. It says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. That's Father. All right, the Ancient of Days. His clothing was as white as snow. He's trying to describe it in our language. He can't even describe it. It's just like, God's like, I can't, you know, just one drop of my love. You just can't, it's not, Mark, it's not even a dropper full. You just can't handle it. The hair of his head was, that's why we need these new glorified bodies, amen? The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. All right, this is what happened that day in the Holy of Holies. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and thrown into blazing fire. Verse 12 says, the other beast had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. Okay, I don't have time to go into all this teaching, but there was four beasts in the book of Daniel. Okay, the one beast that was destroyed was death. Death, sin, and the grave. Okay, verse 12, the other beasts had been stripped of their authority. Remember that. They had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. I don't understand that. God's in control, okay? That's where faith comes in. In my vision at night, I looked, and there was before me was one like the Son of Man. That's Jesus coming with the clouds of heaven. That was the Old Testament saints. Remember in Hebrews where it talks about the cloud of witnesses? He approached the Ancient of Days, Father God, and was led into his presence. Here's the Holy of Holies. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That happened 2,000 years ago. That's not talking about the book of Revelation. That's talking that this happened 2,000 years ago. And we have to receive that by faith. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Amen. 1 John 3:8, here's another one. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed, that's past tense, principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, here's my last slide today. Did everybody learn something today? We just went through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Okay, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he opened the way for God to become our Father. And he took back all authority and dominion from Satan that had been lost in the Garden of Genesis or the Garden of Eden. He turned graves into gardens, and he has given us his authority and dominion, and it's up to us to enforce it and to use his name. He restored unto us a relationship with the Father. And here's what I'm going to tell you. The Father is good. He is good. When Jesus was here and he was ministering, thousands flocked to him. All right, I don't know. I was thinking about this. The Bible says that Jesus came in the fullness of time when he was supposed to come in the history of mankind. If he came today, every plane would be trying to go to Israel. All right, I mean it would be. I mean that's how much people wanted to go hear him and be taught by him. Because when he walked around, guys, he was the Father God, he was the Son of God, but he was all of the nature and the character of God in the flesh. And what he taught people was God is a good God, God is a Father, and God loves you. They had never heard those kind of things. It was always the religious kind of stuff, and people just flocked to Jesus to hear about the Father and to hear about the kingdom of God. And guys, that's whenever, you know, when I started off this message and I was talking about, people, blaming God for the COVID-19, that it's the 11th plague and God is destroying our false idols. Mark had sent me something. Mark Ward, we were talking about that this past week, and was talking, he'd read an article where, we're taking down Hollywood, taking down, sports and all these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not the Father God. All right. And here's the deal. Romans 8:28. This came from the enemy's camp. Don't get me. That's where there is no sin. There's no sin. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no death in heaven. All right. All that junk comes from the enemy's camp. Does not come from God. And God is a good God. He is a good Father. And he's turning graves into gardens. And Romans 8:28 says he is causing all this to work together for the good. Right now, there's more churches and there's more people watching online than there ever has been, watching and hearing the gospel. They heard the gospel through Carrie today. They just heard the gospel from the Word of God today. And that's what people need to hear. God is good, and he's a good, and that's why Jesus came, was to restore unto us a relationship with the Father. And there's many rooms. That's good. There's room for everybody. And so I pray that this message ministered to you today. There's two things. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation there with your families and your children. And then I'm going to also speak a blessing over you before we dismiss. And I pray that y'all have a blessed Easter Resurrection Day with your families. And but I want to say this. Now, this is how I close every message that we have here at the church is, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what I want to do today is lead you in a prayer of salvation, and you can just repeat this prayer with me. And this is the prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your very next step of obedience, and we can do that after this is all lifted and we can join back together again, is get you water baptized here at the church. Or I can come to wherever you're at, and we can go to a farm pond or wherever, and we can get her done. But I want to lead you in this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want you to join hands with your family here online, and I'm going to speak this blessing over y'all today. This blessing comes out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Happy Easter.